Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend. I hope you guys are having a wonderful start to your week. Now, when I woke up today, there was a scripture that was put on my heart that honestly, would not leave me at all. When I got up, it was the first thing on my brain. When I was taking a shower, when I was doing my skincare, when I was drinking my coffee. And finally, I sat down and I started reading the scripture. I knew that the Lord put it on my heart for a reason. And what I was led to, what kept popping in my head was, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And I was led to Psalm 105. And in Psalm 105, I'm going to flip to it real quick. So I can read this to y'all. This was where the Lord led me to read today. Starting in verse 13, it says here, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he allowed no man to do them wrong. In fact, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He cut off every source of bread. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold as a servant. His feet, they hurt with fetters. He was laid in chains of iron, and his soul entered into the iron. Until his word came true, until the word of the Lord tried and tested him. I want to pause here. Y'all, usually I'm reading from the CSB or the ESV. Today I am reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, just so you know. If the wording sounds a little bit different, we are in a different Bible today. But in reading that this morning, that reminded me, I needed that reminder of who God is. Because oftentimes we can get caught up in the God is love and God is mercy and God is grace because he shows us love and mercy, like way more love and mercy and grace than we deserve, right? I cannot tell y'all how many times I mess up. I say something I shouldn't. I treat someone in a way that I shouldn't. I do something that I'm like, I know God calls me to higher and I know God calls me to better. And when I repent, I receive his forgiveness and he gives me an opportunity to do better. And when we're so used to experiencing that, we can start to forget just how much God doesn't play when it comes to his people. You know, y'all, I believe it's 1 Samuel where God is saying, go to these people, say what I tell you to say, and understand that they are not rejecting you, they are rejecting me. That when God appoints someone to speak something, when God is using someone, when someone is carrying that anointing, when they were walking out that anointing and walking out their calling and people are moving against them or coming up against them, when they're rejecting the words that God is giving, they're not rejecting the person, the vessel, but they are rejecting God. And when one starts to do harm to the vessel, when one starts to slander and gossip and whatever this harm looks like, right? Because sometimes it can look like physically hurting. Sometimes it can look like being deceptive. Sometimes it can look like starting rumors. Sometimes it can look like going out of their way to try to close doors or stop opportunities. Whatever it looks like, God doesn't play about people coming up against his anointed. And that's just one that's one area I'm feeling led to touch on today. But there's a bigger picture here that I feel we're being pulled to get to today, right? And that is, I feel this tags along onto that past episode we had of prophets and talking about what prophets are and kind of how does the Lord use prophets? And today, this episode feels more about rejecting God's people, rejecting God's word, rejecting prophetic words, rejecting the chosen. And the way that God moves, when that happens. And I just want to start with, I want to openly pray this on this as we record this episode, that I pray that the Lord keeps my heart soft as I discuss this topic. And I pray that, you know, my own words don't come out, but the words that the Lord wants me to speak come out instead, because this can be, you know, personally, this is a hard topic for me. And I want to make sure that my heart is right in discussing this and talking about this. And there's a piece of scripture I want to read to y'all. And this is Daniel chapter 4. And this is the warning. This is the prophetic warning that Daniel gives to King Nebuchadnezzar, right? And we're going to start here in verse 25 of chapter 4, where Daniel is saying to King Nebuchadnezzar, "You shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass, as do the oxen, and you shall be wet with the dew of the heavens. And seven times shall pass over you until you learn and know and recognize that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will. In that it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Your kingdom shall be sure to you after you have learned and know that God of heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins and show the reality of your repentance by righteousness. And liberate yourselves from your iniquities by showing mercy and loving kindness to the poor and oppressed, that there may possibly be a continuance and lengthening of your peace and tranquility and healing of your error. All this was fulfilled and came upon King Nebuchadnezzar." I want to pause here. I want to pause here for a moment, y'all. And just identify a couple of the continuing problems King Nebuchadnezzar seemed to have that weren't changing or shifting. Because if you've read about King Nebuchadnezzar, before this has happened, like, King Nebuchadnezzar has seen God move through Daniel. He's seen, you know, dreams interpreted. He has seen amazing things happen, right? King Nebuchadnezzar has seen God move. He's had moments where he glorifies God, where he's like, "Glory to the God of Daniel," praising God. But there were parts of his heart that were hardened and refused to be shifted or changed. And one of the things that we see here that this word is being given to Daniel, right? This hardship that he's about to go through, God has a reason for this, right? And it is so that way he may repent, so that way he may see transformation. God recognized that Nebuchadnezzar wasn't going to give up his old ways. There wasn't going to be this shift. There wasn't going to be this transformation until he had to learn the hard way. And that hard way was kind of losing his mind, living as an animal with the animals, losing his kingdom, losing these things that kept him in the state of pride, that kept him in that judgmental seat. Because I believe that is what we are being shown here with King Nebuchadnezzar, is that he appointed himself in some ways above God in the judgment seat. Right, it says here, until you learn and know and recognize that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and gives it to whomever he will. So it seems like Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with who God was choosing to use, who God was choosing to bless, who God was giving the kingdom of heaven to. And how many times do we see Christians today struggling with that? I can tell y'all, I have met many Christians. There are some who have called themselves Christians their whole lives, who say they love God, and you know they say, well, God chooses and God's the judge, until it's someone that they don't think is worthy or deserving. Now, once it's someone that they don't think is worthy or deserving, it's almost like they put like an X over this person. If there's no way God can use them, anything good that's happening, it's a lie, it's deception, it's not God, it's not. They paint it up to be demonic and evil because they refuse in their mind to accept that God chooses people and uses people solely because he wills, solely because he wants to. God doesn't have to explain to us why he chooses people, why he chooses to use them in that way. But it seems like Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with God's authority in that area. It seemed like in reading this that Nebuchadnezzar did not believe in his heart that God had the authority to give it to whoever he wills. I cannot tell y'all how many times I have seen people who have a really rough past, you know, who were being used by the kingdom of darkness for a long time, that had a radical transformation in Christ Jesus. And of course, they're not perfect. You know, they're going through the sanctification process, but they're being used by God in mighty ways. And I've seen people who call themselves Christians that refuse to accept that Jesus could clean them up, that refuse to accept that they could be repentant, that refuse to accept. And instead of calling them children of God, they call them sons of Satan. They call them children of the devil. They say, well, this must be witchcraft, or this must be wickedness, or this must be lies, this must be deception. It's like in their mind, they don't believe that God can truly use anyone. They don't believe that God can truly soften any heart. They don't believe that God can use all things for their good. They don't believe that the kingdom of heaven is more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. It's like they believe that the devil, that the wickedness, that the evil is more powerful than God. Because if they truly believe that God could soften a heart, that God could have radical transformation, that God could use someone with the messiest past, if they truly believe that, then where is this coming from? Let's take a moment to look at Saul, who was killing Christians, who was persecuting Christians, who was going directly against, who we would today, modern day, see as the most evil and wicked person. And when he was happily walking along his way to go persecute more people, he encountered the truth of Jesus Christ. He experienced miraculous healing from his blindness. And God started sending him to testify. And he ended up being used in really big ways. Look at how many books are in the Bible. You can't say that that wasn't God's blessing. But how many people, if they saw that happen today, would claim that's the devil? That's the wickedness. That's no way God could use him. No way God could bless anything that appears to be miraculous or anything that's evil, that's wicked. Y'all, there are a good amount of that's coming to mind right now of people that unfortunately, like I have seen people that were very famous for living lifestyles that didn't glorify God, who experienced radical shifts, transformations, and gave their lives to Christ. And they're being used in miraculous ways. Every time I see their comment section online, every time I see people interacting with them online, there's always a handful of people that are like, this is fake. There's no rebirth. Once you did this, you always did this, that refused to let go. And, you know, I look in their bio and I see Christian. I think, do these people really think that they're being used by God right now? Because saying those things and causing that hurt and causing that harm, that's not of God. Vengeance, exposure, all those things are God's, not ours. And there are some people who are so blinded by their own pride, who are blinded by their own version of God in their head, who are blinded by anger and hostility and confusion and lies of the enemy, that they refuse to see the fruit, that they refuse to see God. We see here with King Nebuchadnezzar, another one of his problems, it looks like he wasn't showing loving kindness to the oppressed. It says here, we are in verse 27, and liberate yourself from your iniquities by showing mercy and loving kindness to the poor and oppressed. Now this was a revelation moment the Lord gave me this morning in reading this, amen, is when I saw oppressed, my first thought comes to people who are like oppressed by the government, or people who are bullied by others, or people who are, you know, when you think oppressed, like showing kindness to other people who are down bad and other people who are hurt by people. But the Lord actually highlighted to me, what about the demonically oppressed? It's crazy how the Lord has changed the way that I handle people that I can tell are not submitted to Christ, right? When I first gave my life to Jesus, and when I was moving through spiritual warfare, anyone that didn't have their life surrendered to Christ, I had immediate red flags up. I want nothing to do with you. I want to push you away, because bad company corrupts good morals, right? And I was in a delicate place where the Lord really showed me, hey, you got to be careful who you hang around, because the wrong influences, you'll find yourself going in a bad direction. But as I matured more in my faith, and as I was able to identify God's voice more, you know, as I was spending more time in the Word and rooted more in the Word, and as I started to trust more the discernment that the Lord was building up in me, the more the Lord was able to use me to actually help people who were oppressed, people who needed delivered. You know, because there was a stage, especially when I was like a very new Christian, where I was just trying to stay rooted in my faith. I wasn't in the space to go and start leading all these other people to Christ and away from these things. I was just holding on by a thread. And as the Lord started, you know, working in me, and as I was being brought around people who were oppressed, demonically oppressed, meaning their thoughts, their actions, their words, their decisions were being influenced by a spirit that wasn't God. They were being influenced, you know, when those whispers in the ears of hateful thoughts, hateful words, lies, slander, they were believing the lies of the enemy and moving through those lies. And they had the temptation to act on, you know, those fleshly things of anger and unforgiveness and greed and lust, and they were acting on them. The people who were oppressed, you know, my first reactions were to be really hateful and say, and try to expose the demon. And I was really trying to fight fire with fire. And over time, the Lord showed me how to actually fight it with love, because I'm not supposed to repay evil for evil. And the Lord showed me how to show love and kindness, how to show the love of Christ, how to be forgiving to those people. And that was actually what pointed people to the cross. That was actually what allowed me to trample on the scorpions, right? That was actually what allowed me to see victory in situations, was matching the evil with love, with Christ-like love, with a kindness. And that's not saying let down my boundaries. And that's not saying be like a people pleaser. You can love people in a Christ-like way and still hold your boundaries. But we see that that must have been a problem for King Nebuchadnezzar, right? That he had a problem with showing love and kindness to the people who were poor and the people who were oppressed. But we see with a lot of Christians today that have struggles with showing love to the people who are poor in spirit and the people who are oppressed. And when I say showing love, y'all, I'm not saying telling people, well, your truth is your truth, or you believe what you believe. Love doesn't mean enabling. Love doesn't mean agreeing. If you've been here with me for a while, you know that is not what I'm saying. But it is to show a Christ-like love. It is to be forgiving. Our lives, our ministry, the way that we respond, the way that we react to people should glorify our Father who is in heaven. So showing love to these people is moving in a way that glorifies God and stays true to his word. So when I was reading this today, I was like, these are the problems that King Nebuchadnezzar dealt with. And I feel like these are the problems that a lot of people who call themselves Christians deal with, right? Because there is a new wave of people coming in who are having radical transformation, and God is using them in miraculous ways. I feel like I'm one of those people that falls into that group, which is why I said, y'all, that this is a little bit of a sticky subject for me. Because I fall into that group as someone who, I was a New Ager. I was a tarot reader. I was all of these things. And the Lord gave me revelation and transformed my heart. And I was repentant and I gave my life to the Lord. And he is now using me and moving through me. And I have had to go through seasons where there were people who refused to believe that I gave my life to Jesus. Where there are people who refuse, no matter how much fruit they see, no matter how guilty they feel, they still refuse in their heart to believe that God could be using me. That God could be moving through me, that my blessings could truly be because God is well pleased with the work I was doing, that refused to believe that God gives his kingdom to those he desires, and that's the only reason he needs. You know, I've been so clear with y'all before that when the Lord gave me promises of restoration, he made it very clear to me. It's not because I prayed a specific prayer. It's not because I did a specific work. It's not because I'm extra special or I'm a better person or anything like that. God said, I can use you. I've made it so clear. So, you know, that's why, y'all, I had to pray in the beginning of this episode that my heart is clean and clear in this. Because I want to make sure that this is the Lord's wisdom and not my own wisdom. Not my own desires, not my own experience speaking. And the Lord is, I want to say this, and I want to be so clear with this, that the Lord is merciful, and the Lord is forgiving, and the Lord is gracious. But sometimes his mercy and his grace looks like turning us over so that way our soul may be saved. And I have, from personal experience, seen people experience God in the way that King Nebuchadnezzar had to experience God. I'm someone who had to experience God in the way that the people in the book of Jeremiah experienced God. I've shared this testimony with y'all before. When God turned me over for the destruction of my flesh, I refused to repent. I refused to turn from New Age or anything like that. You know, I didn't have the clarity, but I was rejecting the people that God was sending to me to kind of like point me lovingly to the cross. So I was turned over. I went through suffering and hardship, and it was in that suffering and hardship that my heart was softened enough for God to truly penetrate, right? For the word of God to truly penetrate my heart and for things to truly start taking root and for me to have revelation and for me to be repentant. That I wasn't ready to receive until I was in a space where I was humble enough. And I have seen people, Holy Spirit, give me the words. And I am actively seeing people have to learn that lesson through situations like the book of Jeremiah, or situations like this with King Nebuchadnezzar, where they're put in a space, they're allowed to go through hardships. God is allowing them to go through things after rejecting warnings, after rejecting the word of God. having to go through situations that are going to soften their heart and humble them to a space where they are obedient and submit to God's will. There's a scripture that the Lord showed to me yesterday that I feel called to share with y'all in this moment, and that is Job 22, verse 11, where it says, "Submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you." You know, these people that I'm referring to that I've seen this happen are people that will submit in some areas to God's word, but there are other areas where their pride is so strong. And they're leaning on their own understanding, and the word of God cannot penetrate and take root in their heart. And because He loves them so much, and because He wants to see them repentant, and because He wants to see them give their lives to Him fully, because He wants to be able to use them too, because He wants to give them promises, because He wants to see them also walk out their kingdom assignments, He will allow them to go through this. You know, that was a big thing that the Lord had revealed to me with these people, was that it's not like they're going through suffering or hardship because God's angry or because God's wrathful. He still has a hope at the end of this, just like He did for the people in Jeremiah, just how He has for King Nebuchadnezzar, that the hope of what they're going through is that they may repent, that God's word may be able to pierce their heart and take root. We see here with King Nebuchadnezzar, right? It says here in verse 27, "Break off your sins and show the reality of your repentance by righteousness." And it says here, I'm going to repeat it again, "And liberate yourself from your iniquities by showing mercy and loving kindness to the poor and oppressed." Shown here, these were the commands He was given, is to stop sinning, to truly break off the sin. Not just a thing of like, okay, I'm going to like abstain for right now. It's break it off of your life. Stop entertaining the sin. Stop entertaining it. Stop making allowances for it. Ring it out and cut it off. And then show fruits as signs of your repentance, being repentant. And I've said this many times, y'all. Feeling guilty and saying sorry and taking ownership, that is a part, right? Like recognizing you've done wrong, taking accountability. But the other part of it is having a change of heart. Repentance isn't just feeling bad or sorry, it is a change of your heart placement where you truly recognize it's wrong and you cannot continue to do it because you know it goes against God. So you will take the active steps to stop doing it. For example, if it's gossiping or slander, you'll stop hanging out with people that you find you gossip and slander all the time with. You'll stop entertaining those conversations. If you're repentant for it, you'll do what you can to flee it. If you're repentant for sexual immorality, you'll stop hanging around with the people that you get sexually immoral with. You'll stop looking up the online stuff. If you're repenting for listening to voices that aren't the Lord's, you'll stop scrolling all day listening to the psychic mediums on social media. You'll stop listening to those words that claim they're from God, but if you hold up to the word, it's clearly not from God. If you are repentant from things, you will stop doing it. If you are repentant for demonizing someone or lying or slandering, you'll stop doing it to them. If you're repentant for holding someone unforgiveness, you'll start taking the active steps to forgive them. God knows when you're just saying sorry to say sorry. God knows when you feel bad, but you're gonna do it again. God knows your heart and your mind. You can't play God. And this was something that the Lord was trying to establish in King Nebuchadnezzar, is like, it's not just that you're gonna stop keeping sin as a pet. You're gonna stop entertaining it. You're gonna stop dismissing it and saying like it's okay. You're going to stop making allowances for it. And you're going to produce fruits. There are going to be signs of your repentance. Y'all, repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is shown in the way you live your life and the choices you make. If you say sorry, but there's no fruit, Where your heart lies is evident. And we see, I want to read a little bit further, right? I want to read here in Daniel 4:35. It says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what are you doing?" And I felt led to read this and ask y'all, are you questioning God? Now we should be asking. God wants us to ask questions. God wants us to ask questions. I think a better way to word this is, are you in disagreement with God's will to where your heart is hardened and you are refusing to accept his will? If it's his will that he speaks through this person, if it's his will that he uses this ministry, if it's his will that this blessing is delivered, and you're sitting there like, nah, I don't agree with that. I don't like that. I don't think that's right. I don't think they deserve that. I don't think. Okay, that's you. But you aren't God. It's fine to ask God questions. He wants us to ask him questions. He wants us to communicate with him. Are you asking questions to understand? Or are you, from a lack of faith and a lack of trust, trying to take away that authority from him? And in you assuming that authority, are you rejecting the will of God? Are you rejecting the word of God? I want to read further. It says, "Now at the same time, my reason and understanding return to me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor return to me. And my counselors and my lords sought me out. I was reestablished in my kingdom, and still more greatness than before was added to me." And that's King Nebuchadnezzar, right? After he went through the suffering and he submitted to God, his heart was changed. He was repentant. And how God restored him. And that is God's love, and that's mercy. God is a loving and merciful God. But he is so loving and so merciful that because he wants to see that change in you, because he wants to use you, because he wants to deliver on the promises he's made for you, if he knows that you're going to have to go through whatever period this is to soften your heart to get there, he loves you so much, he'll take you through it. And he loves you so much that he'll restore you on the other side. It's so important. Someone needs to hear this today, that when you go through these sufferings and these hardships because of a hardened heart, because of an opposition to God, he still has the loving intent to restore you. But we see here that the restoration required repentance. There's something I had highlighted here in Daniel 4, verse 30, where it says, "And the king said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence and seat of government by the might of my power and for the honor and glory of my majesty?" We see the lack of humility that King Nebuchadnezzar had by glorifying himself, right? He was so busy on himself, of his good intent, of what he built, of what he has done. And y'all, I'm not preaching at you from some mountaintop. I'm able to speak these things because, yes, I have been on the side of someone who, you know, people didn't believe that God would use me. I've been on that side. But I have also before been on the other side of feeling so consumed in myself and what is going on in my own life and my own intention, that I refused to see how God used other people. Before God softened my heart when I was a New Ager, when I look back, I can see that there were people who were being kind to me and trying to show me the love of Jesus. And because I was entertaining the lies of the enemy, I was twisting the motives of all of those people. What's crazy is the people that God sent me, oftentimes I was actually viewing those people as evil or wicked or ulterior motives because they were trying to deliver me. I remember that there was, when I was a tarot card reader, and I would do the reading online, there was this couple that they loved Jesus. And every time they came around me, like they would be around me and I would be online, I would make no money. I would get like no purchases that day. And I started attributing it in my head. This sounds so crazy, y'all, but I was actually saying to myself, I was like, they're cursing my finances. Every time they come around, somehow I don't make money. They don't want me doing these readings. They don't want me doing these things. And because at the time I didn't see what I was doing as evil or demonic, I viewed them as the evil ones, right? I was like, how dare they stop my money? I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to do these things. And I recognized it later on that these people were praying for my deliverance. That these people were praying that I would leave the tarot card reading. They were praying that I would leave these demonic things behind, right? And me not making money that day or not an income was frustrating that work and was actually kind of encouraging me. What's interesting enough is I went through so many random days or periods of that I actually started praying, I want a new job. This isn't stable enough. This isn't steady enough. And it actually opened the door for me to be delivered later on. But so crazy that at the time, now I can look back and see that that was clearly God sending those people to pray for me. God sending those people to plant seeds. You know, they would every so often say, why don't you apply for a different job? Why don't you do this? And, you know, I would shake them off and I would get frustrated. I would get offended. I went through a time period where I felt like, well, I'm just trying to provide for myself and I'm just trying to take care of myself and I'm helping people and I'm doing this, is what I was telling myself at the time. That I viewed them as more wicked in that scenario. I was viewing them as the ones who were throwing a wrench in my plans and attacking me and hurting me and harming me. And now on the other side of it, I'm like, nah, they were servants of the Most High. they were literally, if I held what they were doing to scripture, I was the one in the wrong. And they were the ones pointing me in the right direction. But because I was rooted in my pride, because I was in ego space, because I was so focused on my intent and what I think I'm doing and how I feel and, you know, how I think God should view me, I was ready to write like everything off as opposition and wickedness when I didn't realize that I was the one opposing God's will. I've never shared that testimony on here before, and I hope that helps someone. And I just want to say, I pray God blesses that couple for the seeds that they planted and the work that they did in my life. And, you know, it really is, at that time, I was very oppressed, y'all. I needed heavy deliverance. I went through heavy deliverance, and I wouldn't have ever said I needed deliverance. It was once I gave my life to the Lord, and I started, the Lord took me through a period of intermittent fasting, and I was reading the scripture for like 12 hours a day, that there were things being purged from me. There were mindsets and thought processes. It wasn't until I was going through that fasting and I was really going through a self-denial that the word was able to penetrate me. I want to be so clear with this, y'all, that when I went through that transformation, it wasn't when I was keeping sin as a pet anymore. I'm not saying I was perfect. But when the word was actually able to penetrate my heart and like old coping mechanisms and old thought processes were being broken off and I was truly repenting, at that point I was denying self. I was going through fasting. So I was denying my flesh, like food wise. I was no longer smoking or drinking. I was denying my flesh in that area. I was no longer scrolling on social media. I was denying my flesh in that area. I was no longer doing tarot card reading. I had yet to throw away the cards, but I refused to touch them at that point. I was denying myself of all the things that I once was able to defend. And in doing that and seeking God and prayer and keeping the faith, because there were times when I was tempted to go back to those things because I didn't feel like I saw God move yet, or I felt like my enemies were winning, or I felt like these things, I continued to trust in God. And the word was able to penetrate and break things off of me. You know, I'm speaking to y'all today as someone who I have been on both sides. I've been on both sides. I've been on the side of feeling judged and feeling turned away and having to understand that, you know, they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting God, and allow God to handle it. And I've seen God do that. I have seen God take care of me, babes. I have seen God correct people. I've seen God do his thing. And I want to say right now, it is so important that God won't do that until, in my experience, I've never had where God does that when I'm in a space of I would gloat and rejoice. Each time I've seen God deliver justice in that way, I'm at a point where I'm actually more like empathizing with the person. I'm not going to rub it in their face or get excited or all of those things about it. Oftentimes when God delivers a justice or a thing like that, I'm in a space where I don't really care if justice is delivered or not. Like, meaning like I've already made peace with if it never happens. I trust God would do it, but I made peace with where I was at and focused on him. And I understood because, and I think that's because I had already forgiven those people. I think that's such a better way to word this, y'all, is I haven't seen God like really deliver justice in that way or move in that way until I have truly forgiven those people. Or I'm in a space where I wouldn't gloat or rejoice or throw it back in their face. But I have also been the person where there were people God chose and appointed. And it was really hard for me to accept some of the people he sent because they had pasts. You know, when I was thinking of God sending me a Christian, God send me someone to speak his word, I was thinking it was going to be someone who's clean and proper and like, you know, they were just the perfect little minister or whatever. And a lot of the people God was sending me were people with pasts. People who their lives weren't perfect. People where I wanted to look at them and be like, you're one to talk. And that was honestly because I didn't have an understanding of who God was or who he can use. So I was passing judgment because I was relying on my own understanding of who God can use and what they would look like and what they would sound like. It was a mixture of that, of not truly knowing God's word, of not truly believing God's word, right? And then it was also a mixture of I was blinded by the lies of the enemy and the deception and the sin I was entertaining in my life. We've talked about open doors for the devil and how it's hard to compartmentalize how giving into gossip or giving into lust, giving into gluttony, giving into these things in one area of our life can give license for the enemy to blind us or block things in a lot of areas. Kind of almost like give him legal access. We're opening up the door and allowing him to come in, right? Which is why it's so important to flee the temptation and to not keep sin, to cut it off. Sin feels good. We don't sin. I want to say this, Holy Spirit, give me the words. We don't sin because we immediately see it as this is horrible, this is bad, and this is going to separate us from Christ. Oftentimes, the reason why we say yes to the temptation and give in to the sin is because it looks like it's going to feel good. It looks like it's going to improve our situation. It looks like it's the solution. And then later on, when we try to leave, we find out just how much it's a bondage. Sin feels good and looks good at first. The devil masquerades as an angel of light. You know, when God calls us to be forgiving, and that's not very appealing. Having to forgive someone who's doing you wrong or continuing to do you wrong, and saying, like, I'm going to trust God to take care of it, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel like a win. That doesn't even look like a win until God does it. But what does that forgiving do? When you choose to forgive instead of living in unforgiveness, that closes off. The enemy is no longer allowed to use you. The enemy is not able to work on your unforgiveness and use you to attack God's children and use you to plant seeds of doubt, fear, hate, anger, all these things. And that's just an example. So my biggest problem, y'all, was there were certain sins that I refused to see as sinful Or even though I knew, like, God doesn't exactly approve this, I felt like I had a reason to be rooted in it, or I would twist scripture to explain away what I was doing. And I know that there's multiple groups of people that this may resonate with in different ways, y'all. This episode, this isn't for just like one specific group of people. I feel like there are a lot of people who can take something from this today. And there may be people who, like, this is, and I want to say this in the most loving way. If you've been asking the Lord for clarity, you've been asking the Lord for truth. I feel like there's someone today who there is a truth and there is a clarity in this for you. You're struggling of understanding the suffering you're going through. You're struggling of understanding the hardship, or maybe you're struggling of seeing the hope on the other side, or maybe you're someone who's watching people go through suffering and hardship and you're trying to understand. I believe that there is a truth to be revealed to you in listening to this today, and I pray that you see it. And I pray that every single one of you who is listening to this episode today is delivered from that bondage, whatever bondage in your life. Delivered from the lies, delivered from the deceit, that you're able to operate and move in truth, and that you remember who God is. You know, there was a situation that happened not long ago that was so impactful for me, and I needed this reminder, where God reminded me that I'm not his only child, and the other people who I believe are good Christians are not his only children. Like, are not his only creations, that he loves everybody, that Jesus died for everybody. When there is a situation, a scenario, there is a conversation I was in with a person where I used a tone and some words that when I looked back, I was like, no, those were hurtful. And it's not very often that I do get that way. I thought I had moved past that, but the situation had gotten so heated where I responded in that way. And when I had time to reflect on it, I went and I apologized to that person, because I remember as soon as I had a moment to breathe on it, I started taking it to God and I just started crying and asking God for forgiveness of, God, I'm so sorry I talked to your child that way. I'm so sorry that I talked to this person. You love this person, and I talked to them in a way that you wouldn't talk to them in that way. You wouldn't correct them in that way. You wouldn't say it in that way. And I, you know, had to be very open with that person and apologize to them for my wording and my tone and saying I shouldn't have spoken it to you or communicated it to you in that way. And that was wrong of me to do. And maybe someone needs to hear this today of, like, maybe you just need a little bit of this reminder today that, like, Jesus died for all of us. For all of us, in hopes that each of us would give our life. He knows that not everybody is going to give their lives and submit to him. The path is narrow, but that door is open for every single one of us. We should be cheering on when hell lost another one. But just remember that God loves that person too. God wants to see that person repent too. And maybe ask God, how can you be showing his love to those people? How can you be ministering? How can you help point people to the cross? How can you help deliver? And most of the time, and this is from my personal experience, when you're just focusing on your relationship with God and what He has called you to do, the things around you will fall into place. He will give you steps to take. Every time I have seen a promise, every time I have seen a breakthrough, every time I have seen a deliverance, every time I've seen something like that, it wasn't while I was sitting there like, God, how do I operate? How do I do this? How do I, let's make a plan together. It was never those times. It was always the times when I was just focusing on, God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to learn today? What can we talk about today? It was when I was just seeking him and asking him, you tell me what's the small steps to take today? And sometimes I wouldn't see how those small steps would add up into something big. And if you're wondering, like, well, where do I start? Start with God. Start with your relationship with God. And trust that these things will be added on to you. When you're seeking first God and His kingdom, His righteousness, He will take care of you. He will guide you. He will lead you. You know, it's crazy how I'm reflecting on this as I'm speaking to y'all. It's crazy how many people, when I was in a space of oppression, when I was believing lies of the enemy, before the Lord had delivered me and I truly submitted with all my heart to God's word, there were a lot of people that I viewed as my enemy. There were a lot of people that were children of God, but I wasn't able to see that they were children of the Most High. I was blinded in a way. I wasn't able to see their good intention. But there were a lot of people who I believed to be my enemy, that upon deliverance and upon, it wasn't always immediately of like, once I was delivered, I saw everything clearly. It wasn't that I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. It was as I progressed, as I was submitting to God's word, and as He was working in my heart, and as He was transforming me, and as I was just focused on obeying His word, as He was bringing out forgiveness and love and kindness and the fruits of the Spirit in me, that the way that I viewed a lot of these people, the people who I once viewed as my enemies, I was actually able to see as servants of the Most High. I was actually able to later on look back and be like, no, they were trying to help me. They were trying to plant a seed. God was trying to use them. They were actually a blessing. When you stop believing the lies of the enemy, the way that you view some people is actually going to shift and change. When you start being rooted in God's word and submitting to His will and submitting to Him as the authority, it's crazy how your perspective and the way that you perceive the things going on around you and the people around you starts to shift. And it's also crazy how we're able to see how easy it is for the enemy to twist and manipulate when we're not rooted in God's word and don't have a submission to God's word. When we're not truly taking His word and moving by faith with His word. You know, y'all, I'm thinking about flipping to, I believe it was Hebrews that I was reading this morning, that I think this is going to be a really helpful read for somebody. Again, we're in the New Amplified Version. Chapter 11, it says here, now faith is the assurance of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. For by faith, the men of old had divine testimony borne to them and obtained by a good report. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. Prompted by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, because of which it was testified of him that he was righteous. And God bore witness by accepting and acknowledging his gifts. And though he died, yet he is still speaking. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven, so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found, because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. But without faith, it is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever would come near to God must believe that God exists, and that he is the rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. Prompted by faith, Noah, being forewarned by God concerning events of which as yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By this faith, he passed judgment and sentence on the world's unbelief and became an heir and possessor of righteousness. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. By faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land which was designated in the promise. In a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city which had fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Because of faith also, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child, even when she was long past the age for it, because she considered God, who had given her the promise, to be reliable and trustworthy and true to his word. So from one man, though he was physically as good as dead, there have sprung descendants whose number is as the stars of heaven and as countless as the innumerable sands on the seashore. These people all died controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises, only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. I just wanted to read that. I felt led to read that to you all to show you the importance of faith in God and his promises and his ability, his authority, and who he is. These are all examples of people who put their faith in God's word. They hadn't yet seen evidence. Faith isn't seeing. Faith is believing. Believing in God's ability. Believing in God's character. Believing in what God speaks. And when you believe, you take leaps of faith. You move by faith. When you believe what God has spoken, and you know there is a move he's calling you to make, you make it. That is faith, is moving and trusting in God's word. I remember, y'all, just how much faith it took for me to leave behind those sins that I was defending and give my life to Jesus. It wasn't easy. I was in my car. I was hungry. I was tired. I was weary. And I felt like the Lord was telling me, keep fasting. Because I kept praying to God every day, God, do I need to go get a job? God, do I need to do something for finances? Like, this feels so irresponsible. This feels exactly the opposite of what I should be doing. And I felt like the Lord was speaking to me, no, this is my opportunity to show you that I am a provider. This is my opportunity to show you how I can show up when you obey. Because that was the first time in my life I was trusting in God to do it and not doing it myself. And I felt like God was telling me, it would be a sin for me to disobey in that way. He has given me a commandment. And I want to be very clear. That wasn't always a commandment I lived by. I work a job now, y'all. That was a season in my life where God was telling me to leave a sinful job behind, trust in his provision, and in his timing, he would point to me what I needed to do and where I needed to go next. And the next season, I did have a job. I was working. I want to be so clear with that. It wasn't like God just said, I'm going to provide for you forever. For it. He has called me to do work and do things, okay? But that was a season. And so I was already, keep in mind, y'all, I was hungry and I was tired. And I had just gotten out of a time where every time I was on social media online, people were making fun of me. And I could tell people were being friendly to my face with ulterior motives behind my back. And I felt like everyone thought I was stupid. And I felt like I was being attacked. Like, so you, I wasn't talking to anybody. I didn't have friends I was talking to. I didn't have family I was talking to. I was cynical towards people. I didn't trust anybody. So I was already going through that. To add on to that, I was hungry and I was tired. I didn't have any of the conveniences. I was in my car in the desert. So think about the frustration that comes with that too. I don't have easy access to all the stuff you normally do. I was inconvenienced in almost every way you could think. I was also in that time, I was called, the Lord was calling me to be sober. He was calling me to leave behind smoking completely, throw it all out. He was calling me, leave behind the tarot cards, throw it all out. I was dealing with all these things. All of my once securities were like stripped away. And I felt like I was put in a place where it was like, all you can do is sit, wait, and pray and seek God with all your heart and trust in His timing. He'll move and He'll do His thing. And while I was in that space of waiting, that took faith alone, y'all. As someone who I was used to my entire life trying to save things when it looked like they were falling through, trying to make up ways, trying to find all these ways. And for the first time in my life, I was submitting, and God was calling me to do nothing except seek Him and pray to Him and spend my time with Him. And that felt like the opposite of productive. That felt like, Lord, if I do that, then my enemies will surely win. Then I'll probably die here. Then I'll probably all these things. I felt like surrender was calling it quits. But I had faith in what God spoke He would do. He spoke that He would deliver me, that He would restore me. There were promises, and I held on to those. And because I had faith in those, because I went through that humbling period where God's word was able to pierce my heart and I was able to see I needed Him. And I've talked in the last episode about the mental process I went through of I've tried everything else, it's time to try God. When I try giving it to God 100%, try submitting 100%. And the Rooted in Faith episode. And giving all of this to Him by faith. I was like, I don't think I can, I don't think I can push it hard enough how much, and it wasn't easy, right? It wasn't easy to conjure up that faith. I was actually praying to God, where I was like, God, how do some other people just have faith that you're going to do it? How do some other people read the word and just submit to the word and trust in the word? I don't feel like I've seen that in my life. How do you expect me to trust it now? I was like, Lord, this is the hardest position I've ever been in life. This is the time where I need help, and you're calling me to not try to do it at all and to just submit to you. It was mind-blowing for me because I felt like this is the worst timing to do this, God. But that was also the time where God could show up and show up the most. And I remember every day I was praying to God, God, increase my faith. Like, God, please give me the faith. Help my unbelief. Like, help my unbelief. Help me to have the faith. And I was holding on to the like, I hope it really only takes like a mustard seed because God, I'm trying. And the Lord sent me testimonies that actually strengthened my faith and increased my faith. I listened to a couple different people's testimonies. And the rare times I got online, I listened to testimonies like Jonathan Rumi's. And it gave me the encouragement of God did it for them. He can do it for me. I'm going to trust in His word that He is the same now, always, and forever. And it was by faith in His promises and who He is that I fled those sins, that I cut those things off. I trusted, like God had said He has these things for me, but He says I need to cut these things off first. I'm going to cut these things off and have faith that He will keep His word. I'll have faith that vengeance is His. I'll have faith. And in His timing, all those things I was stressed and worried about, my name was restored. Relationships were redeemed. The air was cleared. My provision came. Things happened. God kept His promises. But the most important thing was there was transformation in my heart. I've said this in previous episodes, y'all, that it is so important that before God delivers on His promises, before He blesses you with things, that He prunes you and He makes you into the person who can be a good steward over those things. I wasn't ready to steward over the things when God promised them to me in the moment. When God gave me the promises and visions and words, they were something to put, it was something to move towards. It was a goal to work towards and something to have my faith in God. And God is going to restore this. God is going to heal this. God is going to do this. I was able to move by faith towards the vision that He had given me, which required cutting off and pruning. Just an example, y'all. There were things that God couldn't do in my life until the unforgiveness was broken off of me. or until the sobriety convictions really took root. God wasn't about to bless me with like regular finances until he knew I wasn't going to be spending it on like alcohol or smoking. I can't imagine, like, if God would have given me, like, a big financial blessing, it probably would have been blown in a year on things that God didn't intend me to spend it on or use it for. There were a lot of things where I'm like, yeah, if God would have given it to me in that time, it wouldn't have been stewarded over well. It would have been used. It wouldn't have been built up and multiplied, right? So it's why it's so important to have faith for God's promises, but understand that the promises don't always happen the moment he promises them to you. A lot of these people we read about that moved by faith, it wasn't the next day that God did those things. It wasn't the next day that the floods came. Noah had that time to build that ark. It wasn't the next day that Abraham and Sarah had that kid. It was decades when he looked she was completely seen to be unbarren and he looked like there was no possibility he could have kids. They were like 100 years old. That's why it took faith, right? Because their physical reality said, like, this is impossible. And the longer they waited, the more their physical reality said, no, there's no way this is possible. But God is bigger than what they see around them. That's why it's so important that we establish that faith isn't seeing. Faith is believing in what God says. And faith also requires action. God, Holy Spirit-led action. Take those actions and hold them up to the word. Do they align with the word of God? Because God will not contradict himself. God gives you a promise for marriage. I'm telling you right now, he's not calling you to go out and be lustful. He's not calling you to go out and start making friendly with people, like getting with people who are unequally yoked. God gives you a marriage promise. God, what can I do to work towards that? What do you need to break off in me? Who do you need me to be? It's not about going once you have a promise and trying to force it. God doesn't give you the vision or the promise for you to force it. It's something for you to work towards with your faith in. And by his guidance, stepping out in faith. I pray that this episode has blessed you and helps you. And I pray that there is a truth and there is a clarity that you have received through this. I know that the Lord is more than able to use this episode to impact lives in ways that I could never imagine and I could never see. And I pray that he uses it in that way. I pray that he moves on your heart. I pray that he moves on everyone who listens to this episode today and moves in their lives. I want to thank y'all so much for listening to this episode. And I do ask that you subscribe wherever it is you're listening to this podcast, that you share it with friends, share it with family. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. God bless.